we're going to talk about one of the chapters in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. If you'd like to turn there, we're going to go through that and look at how that's kind of broken out. And I have broken it into four sections that I want to talk about today. There's the initial part of the chapter where I'm talking about there's some just general instruction there that Solomon is providing his sons. And then there's a discussion about the principle of acquisition of wisdom. And there's a clear and forceful presentation by Solomon here to his sons to go get it. Go get wisdom. And then he's going to talk about two paths. And he's telling his sons, you have two paths. We'll talk about that a little more. And then there's the application of that wisdom. What are you going to do with it when you do get it? And so that's kind of what I wanted to take from the lesson in the words in chapter 4. But to set the stage a little bit, we need to understand what we're talking about in wisdom. You know, we can acquire all types of knowledge. And we can learn little tidbits and facts about a lot of things. We can have all kinds of knowledge and definitions about words, but we have to be able to connect the dots and put that knowledge together. So the idea of wisdom connects all of those little interesting facts that we acquire through the years, right? So in this definition, I think I got this from Webster, there's an accumulated philosophic or scientific learning, that's one definition, the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, and also good sense. The discerning inner qualities there, there's a judgment in that and connecting those things together that wisdom brings to you. And we'll talk about how wisdom helps us as we live our lives. The other definitions that we're going to look at here are one for the heart. Heart is mentioned here in the context of chapter 4. And when you see heart, think of the mind or the intellect. It's, of course, not your physical pump, the cardiac heart. It's the mind or the intellect. And the other thing that I want to do here is to treat this chapter in the context of a broader discussion for us. Solomon is delivering this, and the context here is that he's delivering this to sons. So I want us to ask this question. Is this message only for males? And is it only for a father to do, to deliver this kind of guidance? And the answer to that is no. The message here is applicable not only to sons, but it's to the girls as well, the daughters. So when we read through the text, you'll see I've superimposed child or children in places, and I've taken father and I've put in parent there. Now, I hope you'll give me that leeway. I'm not changing the word of the Lord, but I want to do that to say, think about this in the broader context of where you are. If you're a female and you want to raise your children, this is good instruction for you to give your children. If you're a father, you still can see your role in this instruction. Give this instruction to your children, whether it's a son or a daughter. Okay? So this is applicable to not only males, and it's not only fathers, it's mothers as well. Okay? So let's get into the instruction part of Proverbs 4. So the first four verses read like this. Hear, children, a parent's instruction. And be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. So, there are five critical elements I want to poke at right here in this, in these few verses. The first one is that the parent is giving instruction. And there's a deliberation here, a deliberateness in how he's doing it. Okay? He's very direct in what he's telling his child. Do you see that directness? The next is the child is receiving the instruction. And he even refers to how his dad gave him that instruction at a very early age, and he received that instruction. You see how it's passed down. Let that sink in for a moment. Parents are giving the instruction. The child is receiving the instruction. Now, there's reasons why that works. One, there's respect that's there. The parent for the child and the child for the parent. And there's work that has to be done to create that opportunity for that respect to be built so that the child reveres the parent, such that those words are valued and they receive it. Okay? So the third element here is there's a sense of urgency in this. I hope you would agree with that. There is a sense of urgency here that conveys, this whole context is, do it now. He didn't tell him to hear me later. Didn't tell him to hear me when you grow up a little more. He's telling him, hear me now. And he's telling him, sharing with him his experience here of when he was a little boy. So there's an importance here. The fourth thing. Why should you hear me, young man? Or young lady, why should you hear me? He's telling him in this passage that he wants him to gain insight. That you may gain insight. This is the English Standard Version translation. To gain insight and that you might live. Remember who his daddy was. This is not a joke. This man was powerful. And he's telling his son, and now he's telling his son the same things, to give him, to pass on the wisdom that he's learned and to share with him, there's things you're going to need to know in your life. Pay attention. The kids we have don't come with an instruction manual. I'm not the first to say that. And everybody knows it. It's hard to do, right? But this starts early. This really starts early. And laying the foundation is critical. So, I've alluded to this, and the passage here talks about the time. When does he say that he started hearing this from his dad? When I was a son with my father, tender. He was tender of age. And the only other clue is he was the only one in the sight of his mother. There's an allusion there. I want to think that that means there was not another child around at that time. So this is very early, and he remembers it. That's what's incredible here. It's early enough that he remembers what he says, or it could have been that this was drilled into him over and over and over, and it goes back to his earliest remembrances. We don't know for sure. But the point is, he clearly says, this happened when I was young. So why does he care that this happens at an early, early age? I was going back and looking at some more child psychology data, and I would challenge you all, if you have grandchildren, if you have children, if you hope to have children, go out and look at some of the information that you have access to on the internet or in libraries, and look at what people are saying on how to raise your children. You can find any number of ways to raise a child that are not in keeping with what God says. But I can tell you, this early stages of child development is absolutely critical. The very early time in your life when this kid needs that instruction, he's got to have it, because their minds are wide open. Their minds are wide open, and they're going to receive information, and they're just taking it all in. The other thing that's critical about early child development is that they're set on, I'm going wide open. I'm going to test every boundary. Matter of fact, there are no boundaries. Did you catch that? In the mind of a child, there's no boundaries. So what are you going to do? You want your child to learn to operate within boundaries? Those children that learn to operate within boundaries are the ones who follow instructions, the ones who stand in line patiently and wait, the ones in the bank that run up and break line from in front of you, or break line at a ball game or whatever. Those who are the ones who don't understand boundaries and discipline. Okay? Think about this. The early stages, the first 2, 3, 4 years of a child's life is absolutely critical. Their minds are wide open. And the Bible tells us what to do. The Bible tells us, spare the rod and spoil the child. But you can go out to every psychologist in Charleston or any other place in the country, and they'll tell you, don't. Which one are you going to go with? Do you want to know what God says? You want to raise a child the way God wants? Statistically, the odds are against you raising your child to be what God wants him to be. If you have a child today, chances are he will not be faithful. She will not be faithful. That's the fact. So what are you going to do? Are you going to let the worldly psychologist tell you how to raise your child, or are you going to take what the Lord says? Seek wisdom. We're going to talk about wisdom. Making the ground fertile for your child to take on the kind of instruction that you need to give him that will save his soul or her soul. And it has to happen early, and it has to happen consistently. Solomon is giving him direct. Look at what he says. Be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. Do not forsake my teaching. This is at a young age. The kid understands no or yes. Don't do this. Don't do that. That's a boundary. That is a boundary. And he's giving it to that child early. Okay? So if you want to be wise, if you want your child to be wise, do these things. Especially if you want that child to grow up, and I'm saying this to the young parents right now, we've got lots of children here, we've got more on the way. So start now. get it now. Give the child what they need for success. Okay? Then we talk about the acquisition of wisdom. In verse 5, it says here, get it. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Where I'm from, they would say, is there any fuzz on that peach? I'm not from Georgia, but Tennessee, close enough. That's very clear. Solomon is telling his sons, this is what you've got to have. Did Solomon have all the riches? I mean, they had riches. They had everything else. Did he say go out and get more? No. He's telling him what is really valuable. Verse 6, do not forsake, and this was personified as a female in the translation here. So I've taken the her and the she and replaced them with the word wisdom, so you can read this cleanly as it's really intended to show. Do not forsake her or wisdom, and wisdom will keep you. Love wisdom, and wisdom will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. That's the understanding. Prize wisdom highly, and wisdom will exalt you. Wisdom will honor you if you embrace wisdom. Wisdom will place on your head a graceful garland, and wisdom will bestow on you a beautiful crown. So wisdom helps us in many ways. It says here that wisdom protects us. Wisdom will not forsake us, keep us, guards us, it exalts us, honors us, brings us to achievement. That idea there that wisdom will place on your head a graceful garland. If you have acquired that wisdom and you've used the wisdom wisely, that's kind of an odd use of words, but if you've done wisely, your life will be successful, especially when we're talking about godly wisdom and receiving your crown in heaven. That garland is the idea that you've won the race. You achieve that. Okay? So wisdom bestows on you a beautiful crown. We sing that song, beautiful robes of white, beautiful crown. That's the idea. Having the wisdom to get through life, to serve God, and receive your crown. But it takes effort. It takes not forgetting the words of the Lord, the wisdom that's in the Bible. It takes study. But those things will guard you and take you through life to a place where you want to be, and that's heaven. So in verses 10 through 19, we start talking about the two paths. Hear, my child, and accept my words. Again, he's telling him, accept my words. Take them in other words. That the years of your life may be many. Now, I'll just stop right here and say, you probably all know someone who has defied their parent, gone and done something, and they're not with us anymore. That's clearly an idea. They disobeyed their parents. They're not with us because of the decision they made. I've known people like that. They've gone out, done things, drinking, driving crazy, doing things that they knew not to do, and they're not with us. I lost a good friend many years ago. He went camping with some friends. Some of the other guys brought some liquor. He got extremely drunk, and they passed out, and they laid him on his back, and he got sick, vomited, and inhaled that toxin, and he died before they could even know it, really. He was dead in the morning. But that's just an example of people not following the wisdom of their parents. So, children, listen to your parents. It's tough to get through the world, and you need the guidance of people that have been there, seen things, they have a lot more experiences than you. Listen to them. In verse 11, he says, I have taught you the way of wisdom. The word there, way, is the idea of a road. The road of wisdom. I've taught you to go down this way, to be wise and to go that way. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Why is that? They're not going to stumble. They're not going to be hampered. There's no roadblocks because they've chosen a wise and righteous kind of path. This uprightness is the idea of righteousness. There are no hindrances there because you know that's the way you ought to go. There are other influences, but that's the way you should go. If you go the other way, definite hindrances to the success of your life. Verse 13, keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard wisdom, for wisdom is your life. And again, that's the substitution there for the personification and the feminine gender there. Do not let go, guard her, for she is your life. The idea there is that wisdom from the instruction that you're trying to hold desperately on to. Hold on to that. Hold on to that instruction and that wisdom that you're gaining. So there's an interesting point here I want to make. You can hold on to that, but if you don't use it, it's like not holding on to it. Maybe you know what's right, but you ignore it. It's no better than turning that wisdom loose or forgetting it. So, not only hold on to it, but use it properly. Verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. So we're talking about the wicked path here, the path of the wicked. So the idea here is, of these two paths, wisdom leads to the path of righteousness, and the lack of wisdom, or the lack of the use of wisdom, leads you down this path of wickedness. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. So think about this just for a moment. In your daily life, and you have choices to make, and you know you want to go out. Maybe you're a parent and you want to make some decisions for how you want to spend a weekend with the kids. Maybe you're a teenager and you want to run with your friends somewhere. What are the choices you're going to make? Are you going to choose the right path? Are you going to take the path that exposes the children to things that you know God would not want? Remember, we are learning to be wise, and we are trying to hold on to that wisdom. We're trying to use that wisdom in a way that we have success. And if we don't use it wisely, we're not going to have the success. It's pretty simple that way. But remember what I said earlier. Chances are, if you're trying to raise children, grandchildren, give them the right guidance, stick to it, and hold them to that standard. One of the very common things that you see in today's world, and this is espoused a lot by the folks who do not believe that you should spank a child, is the idea of diversion. An example of that would be, here's a little kid, he doesn't want his way, you know, he's got his particular way, he doesn't want to do what you want to do, and so the idea would be, well, hey, look over here, and divert their attention so that they'll stop doing what they're doing that's really agitating and get them on the right track, or get them on a different track so they're behaving. Have you thought about the consequence of that? I have. When you don't take the teaching moment and you let that teaching moment go by, the child learns nothing. That's so simple. If the child is doing something you will not allow, stay focused on that and teach the child not to do that. If you divert the child's attention, they have learned nothing. They still have the behavior you don't want, right? They still have that behavior. So diverting a child's attention will not correct the behavior you do not want. Please remember that. So avoid those paths. Don't go down it and turn away from it. Verse 16, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong, and they've robbed or slept. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Don't you love to see a sunrise? That's the idea. The path of righteousness is like that light of dawn. It's the sunrise that brings that sunny day. Shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. You ever gotten up in the night in a pitch dark room and you're trying to find your way around and you stumble over something? That's the idea. The way of the wicked is just like that. They're wandering around, don't know what's happening. They fall over things. How'd that happen? You didn't have light. Wise to turn on the light, or at least have a nightlight in the house, right? So wisdom leads us to and down the righteous path. Wickedness leads to darkness. That's the idea of those verses. So the application, verse 20. My child, this is a singular son in this translation. My child, be attentive to my words. Again and again, he tells them over and over. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart or your mind, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart or mind with all vigilance, from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Crooked speech, devious talk. Our children model our behavior, and that starts in the ages of 3 to 6. They really are locked in on how you're behaving, and they're going to start learning from you very quickly. People around us see how we behave. They see our speech. They see our talk. Are they getting a good and clear message that we are living as God wants us to? Are we speaking with forked tongue as the Native Americans and the Hollywood shows would talk about? You speak with forked tongue. So let us be clear in our message, and let us be honest and truthful. Very big principle for teaching children as well, to teach them to tell the truth. The child's mind is set on, you know, imagination and, you know, just being able to talk and to spin a story, right? But they have to be taught to teach, to say the truth and to speak truthfully. I like verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Why is that critical? Your mind has what it has experienced. There's no need in looking back. You understand. You know within your mind. So the idea here is to focus your life on the things that are ahead of you. Don't worry so much about what's past in the rearview mirror. Take your learning of those experiences with you and let that history help you formulate the best path forward as we go forward and understanding what God wants us to do. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. So this is the idea of a detour. If God wants us to go down this path, and he says, go this way, and we say, well, maybe I want to get off here for a while, and I'll get back on. How many times have we seen people get off that path, and they don't get back on, for whatever reason? Stay on the path. Stay forward looking, stay on the path, and don't take the detour. Verse 26, excuse me. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about where you're going. That's the idea. Think about the path your feet will take, and then all your ways will be sure. If you plan and execute your plan according to God's will, God will be with you, and you'll be successful. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So the lesson for us, are we exercising our wisdom that we have? Are we acquiring the wisdom that we need, the godly wisdom to get us through this life and to enter the next life? And to be in heaven with Jesus and with all the saints that have gone before us and those that may come after. Are we living that way? Have you obeyed the gospel? Maybe you've gone astray. Whatever your need, now is the time to make correction in your life as we stand and sing.